Hello, my name is John Lim, executive producer and co-host of the podcast series Moving Forward. In the following episode, my co-host Krista Knepper interviews a very gifted and talented artist. During the interview, the guest reveals a traumatic event that occurred during her childhood. While there is no graphic language or explicit descriptions, the subject matter may be intense for younger listeners. Parental discretion is advised. We also recommend that parents listen to this episode, and if they feel appropriate, share it with their children and have a frank discussion afterwards on how best they can protect themselves. We thank you.
In a world where people are famous for doing nothing, we're here to discover the ordinary individuals who take giant leaps to do something extraordinary. Welcome to Moving Forward.
Welcome to Moving Forward. I am your host this week, Krista Knepper, and today I am honored that Callie Rawson is joining us. Callie is an actress, a filmmaker, an artist, a creative spirit, and the ambassador to Save the Children Tibet. Callie, thank you so much for being here and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Kristen.
So I wanted to dive in with your branding because it's such a unique mark. So whenever you go to your website, your LinkedIn page, it says Callie Rawson, the POW girl. So a lot of people I know are told to brand themselves, told to market themselves, but you've really put it out there. So can you tell us a little bit about the POW girl and how that came to be?
Well, I have a lot of energy when people meet me. And so I wanted something that was my essence. And also an acronym for something. So POW. POW is something that is like an explosion, something that's created. And at first, before I took neuro-linguistic programming trainings, I had it mean protect our world. And because as an ambassador for Save the Children of Tibet, I wanted to protect these children. And so after NLP, what I discovered was that I was coming from a past of feeling not safe. So what I did in neuro-linguistic programming is I shifted it and I started looking to the future, and I created Planet of Wonder, because we are ultimately creating our futures. And it's really neat that we're on the show called Moving Forward. And when you are moving forward, what are we creating? And so I'm creating a planet of wonder, predicted Oscar winner, powerful, optimistic woman, peace over war. There's so many things. Each day I think about what can I create today with the POW.
But I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned neuro-linguistic programming. So yes, you said a lot. I want to unpack some of it. So let's go ahead. Can you tell us a little bit about neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, how you found it, how it's impacted you, and what it is for our listeners that may never have heard of this before?
Neuro-linguistic programming is a technique that I was trained in through Kaya Redford Success Coaching, and I went in wanting to have a breakthrough in my acting career. And what it does is we all have memories, and our memories are attached to emotional triggers. And what I discovered in neuro-linguistic programming is there's a way to guide people to remove that emotional trigger that creates unwanted, inappropriate responses to situations sometimes when people are under stress. And I found it really fascinating, and it's really helped me a lot. I feel more confident. I feel more strength in a situation when I used to feel very stressed out sometimes when I had a lot of things on my plate. Mm. Now, I think big picture instead of bogged down by the details, and I think it's really shifted my thinking and healed me in a lot of ways.
I like that.
So that I can be even more of who I am.
I like that. Can I ask a couple of questions? I'm not particularly familiar with it. Is it similar to, I am familiar with tapping or EFT, emotional freedom technique, where you tap on acupuncture points on your face, on your chest, under your arms. Is it similar to that, or is it using language to empower us, redefining how we might see a certain event?
You know, I think that tapping technique is similar to our anchoring technique in the NLP.
Okay.
What happens is when someone is in a specific state and you press on certain trigger points on a person's body, you anchor that specific state. So I think tapping may be that, because I think in tapping, don't you say some kind of positive message and you tap in that area?
Yes, so it would be, even though I'm angry at my mother, my spouse, what have you, I still truly love and accept myself, would be one of the phrases that you would use. And so you would work through an event, anger, and it might take, you know, more than one time to do so, but it's utilizing these release points on your body in order to let that memory or that event flow through you rather than holding on to it and allowing it to continue to trigger you as you live your life.
Okay. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, it's very effective. And it's helpful with any post-traumatic stress memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anchoring is really powerful. You don't just tap, you hold the spot for several seconds and you put the person in a specific state. Like, I would definitely not put someone in an anger state.
Sure.
But the tapping, I'd have to look into that. But thanks for telling me.
No, yeah. For our listeners who might be familiar with one and not the other, and maybe we'll have some people write in and tell us the differences even. But you had mentioned that you had begun this class because you wanted it to impact your acting. So how has it impacted your craft and your creative process?
You know, I took it not to help with the actual craft of it, but with my booking and my creativity, because I feel like I stop myself sometimes, or my nerves, like I used to get a little stressed out and nervous. And I think that's what it's helped me, is to be present. So in a lot of ways, yes, it did help my acting career. I mean, my acting craft part, because when you're present in a scene, it's very powerful.
Absolutely.
I shot a film right after I had finished NLP, and the director gave us 2 days on their schedule to shoot it. And we began at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we completely finished every scene at 10 o'clock in the evening. And he was blown away. The director's name is Seifel Heike, and he's through the arts, Cal Arts University here.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenes were very emotional, so that's why he gave us 2 days. But because of NLP, I believe that because I could shed any kind of insecurities, I shed a lot of insecurities in that class, that it allowed me to just be in that moment and really be present to what was happening, and it impacted the schedule, which was great, because it saved a whole day of filming.
Absolutely. And that's pretty unheard of. Usually schedules go long rather than, oh, we did it all in an hour or two. That's great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a little bit about your personal development, because you sound as though you're very evolved, you're very spiritual, you've gone through some, you know, advanced trainings. So what was the hardest thing that ever happened to you? How did you begin this journey, or what was that pain point?
You know, in 1994, I was working as a dental hygienist in Dallas, Texas, and a dentist I was working with, Shelley Canada, invited me to a course that she was taking called Self-Expression and Leadership. And I'm sitting in the room listening to the class, and a woman stood up and was sharing about a project she was creating in the world called We Care. and it was on the cover of a magazine where she was feeding children in the city of Houston. And then another woman stood up and started sharing about her project about building homes for underprivileged families. And she had land donated, materials donated to build these homes. And in the back of the room, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I want to do something like this. And immediately I was enrolled in this transformational course. And so ever since 1994, each year I've done trainings to improve who I am in the world. And it's the 21st year is this year, and it's really impacted my life in such a way that I'm really humbled by it. It's extraordinary.
I am blown away. What a gift to give yourself. I think so many times, women in particular, we're giving to others and we don't really replenish what we need to. So that is amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
Can I ask, is there a favorite one that you've taken thus far? Favorite course?
You know, one of my favorites is the Wisdom Program. It was a year-long course about play. Like what it is to actually play. Because when we grow up as adults, we forget how to play. And so we have all these adults in the class drawing and painting and singing and dancing and creating. And during that course, I declared that I would be in a role, in a major role, in a major film. And about 6 months later, I was cast in a film shooting in Chiavari, Italy.
Mm.
That was in 2000. And it just, the play and the collaging was a very freeing experience. And so that was my favorite class.
I love that. I think that's so important. And I think adults don't recognize how important that is. I know Brené Brown has spoken about her research regarding vulnerability and authenticity. And one of the things she even says is, oh, that's cute. You go do your ART. I have a J-O-B. And we really don't allow ourselves not only to play, but to have a free schedule in which we could cultivate anything creative or organic in that way. So that, I think that's something that we should all look into. I know I'm going to.
Yeah.
You also had mentioned a couple of times here, I've heard you weave in, I put this out there to the universe. This was something I committed to myself I was going to accomplish, which sounds to me like the law of attraction. So let me ask you a little bit about that. Do you believe in the law of attraction, and how do you cultivate that into your life?
Yeah, the law of attraction is real. I believe that we're magnets, so to speak. And people think that the law of attraction is that you wish for something and it happens.
No.
I've discovered that it's the state that we're in. And what I mean by that is you are either in a state of abundance or you're in a state of lack. So someone that's in a state of abundance who is wishing for something and visualizing it and feeling it most likely is going to attract it sooner than a person that's thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. It's impossible. I don't have the money. Oh, and they're in this state of lack and frightful of how things are going to happen.
Absolutely. And I've heard, we've had conversations offline about the language you use in the universe and how the universe does not recognize the word no. So for example, I will no longer be a victim rather than I am a survivor. And the choices we make with how we present ourselves and that energy that shows up in the world and what we attract therefore.
Yeah, I was approached by an organization, a nonprofit, to support them. And I asked what the name was, and it was No More Victims. And I said, I would love to support you. Although No More Victims is actually creating more victims. So
right.
We went through a little bit of coaching over a few days, and it turned into Rise and Stand, Reach, Empower, Support, and Empower. And that organization is thriving. And so I support that 100%.
Yeah, I love that. And what a beautiful reminder for our listeners as well. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned that the wisdom course and the aspect of play, that was something that was very freeing to you. But when do you feel the most free?
When I'm creating and when I'm on the water or near the water, something about water and creating, be it painting or revising a script or recording a scene or being creative is almost out of body experience for me, because the time goes by so quickly, and when I'm creating from my heart and I'm creating from nothing, it's good to have a plan, yes, but sometimes when I'm feeling the most free is when I'm just creating from nothing.
I like that.
It's amazing.
That's very organic. And I know one of your other passions is singing. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And also, you know, in the context of your work with Save the Children, I know you've done some benefits with them.
Well, singing. I'm in the midst of a breakthrough with my singing, because as a young child, singing was actually my dream. And I was about 8 years old, and I would travel with the nuns to Boston to some cathedrals. And I discovered that singing was my ultimate, like, it was revealing my soul at a level that I've never experienced in any other creation. So I know this question seems like it's going all over the place, but
not at all. Not at all.
So with the Children of Tibet, they had asked if I would bring awareness and bring funds to build this orphanage. So we had two concerts, and I'm noticing that I really would like to have a breakthrough with my singing, because something traumatic happened to me when I was about 8 years old. Something that I was reluctant to reveal on the show, but I will. I was molested, and I think that traumatic instance, and also around that time, I was being bullied a little bit. Someone was saying, "You think you can sing, you suck." So I'm glad you brought up vulnerability, because I'm feeling very vulnerable at this moment.
Of course. But you're being very courageous.
I still need to work through that time in my life when that happened, when I was feeling so free and so in love with what I was doing and so creative. And then having that instance happen to me, in a way, it anchored, because we were talking about tapping and anchoring earlier.
Yeah.
I think those two things collided, the singing and then being molested.
Right.
And so those things collided, and I think that I've been anchored to feel shame, to feel bad, to feel guilty, to feel no good.
Absolutely.
People, like, dirty, or I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things coming up for me right now as I'm talking to you.
Of course. Well, and as children, we think we can control these circumstances, that we're responsible for mom and dad fighting or this person acting out on me. And so when that happens, yeah, we still have it from the age in which the event occurred. So that's only natural. Mm-hmm. And I know it's easy to say it in an intellectual way, even though you're processing it in your heart space.
Yeah. And so I'm going through that process right now. I've gone through so many breakthroughs in my life to get to this point. And I'm committed to having a breakthrough in it, and I've talked to several people that are on board, and I'm going to do a music video that's also a short film slash music video, where I'm going to be singing on stage, and because I'm so committed to having this breakthrough, and I believe that it is my gift.
Yeah. And
this gift is something that I need to share.
I love that. That's very truly courageous. So do you mind if I ask you a couple of additional questions?
Sure.
So at age 8, after those events, the bullying, the molestation, did you stop singing altogether? Was it something you retreated from? How did that manifest?
Yes, I never sang in public ever again.
Wow.
Until Save the Children of Tibet project. Because it was for the love of these children that I did it, not because I wanted to be in the limelight. I was doing it for these children. And I feel that I can sing when I'm doing it for somebody, like for some good in the world.
Wow.
For some reason, I'll feel guilty if I'm doing it for pleasure. Oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, if I'm...
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When we suppress ourselves, we deny our gift to everyone. But it seems as though it's something you love. So since you're getting joy out of it, why should you get to share it?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
But then part of me is like, well, maybe that person was right. Maybe I do suck. And am I in denial? You know, like, it might be true. And am I in denial that...
We all have those thoughts.
I guess, you know what I mean?
We all have those thoughts. Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. Julia Roberts said it in Pretty Woman. It's much easier to believe the bad stuff.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Yeah. So, and there is science behind that, because when we hang on to the bad, it keeps us safe. The limbic system is triggered where we go into flight or fight mode. And obviously we want to be a part of the tribe. So that keeps us safe. And so we, you know, reduce it down to the least common denominator. I've heard Josh Pice say this, who's an acting coach in New York and Los Angeles, is we always reduce it down to you suck. And it's because our limbic system is triggered when we're criticized. And we want to, yeah, so there is real science behind this. So it's helpful to talk about it, because it's certainly not anything that we do alone. Everybody does this.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Well, can I ask, how did you become involved, kind of shifting gears, but I want to, you know, stay with the singing. So how did you become involved with Save the Children?
Well, I became friends with a director on Facebook. Not knowing that he was a director, because all of his languages, he speaks 5 languages, and his Facebook page was all in mainly French, because he lives in Tunisia. And one day, we were talking philosophy and stuff, and I typed a couple things, and he said, "Oh my God!" I said, "What?" And he said, "You just typed some sentences that are in my film." And I said, "What film?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm a director student at this university." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, let's make a film together." So I went to Tunisia, and it was 6 months after the revolution started. And the revolution started in Gafsa, Tunisia, when a man had a little cart out there selling food or items to feed his children. And the police, because he didn't have a permit, because he couldn't afford the permit, they took his cart. And because they took the cart, they took his livelihood away,
right,
and set himself on fire.
Oh, wow.
So that...
What year was this?
2010.
Okay.
So it was around October 2010, or a little bit before then. And 6 months later, I went to Tunisia to shoot a film on peace. The director wrote it, Ghazi Ghafsa, and we filmed it in Ghafsa, Tunisia.
What was the reception like there? How were the police? How were the people?
Oh, you know, interestingly enough, it seemed like nothing had happened there. The people were loving and everybody was having a great time. It didn't seem like there was a revolution happening. at the time. It was, I felt safe. I felt loved, very taken care of by these people. And I'm not sure if the media is propagating certain things to keep us separate. That's another conversation.
Sure.
These people are just amazing. I love them. And I'm still friends with them. They're like family. And I'm also invited to the wedding of Ghazi, him and his fiance, Fatima. I'm so excited for him.
And he was the one that introduced you to Save the Children?
No.
Okay.
So when I got back from Tunisia, from filming, I was approached by Stephen Shedrick, who is a publicist for the UN, and he asked me if I would do a interview with some celebrities to promote Save the Children of Tibet, because His Holiness the Dalai Lama donated 3 acres of land in India to build this orphanage on, and they started building in 2011.
Okay.
And it's almost finished, but they needed someone to help promote it, have people become aware. So I said I would absolutely love to promote and be involved in this, and I'm really excited. So when I started talking to him, we talked for maybe 6 months at the time, Stephen and I, and about 6 months later, he says to me, would you like to be an ambassador for Children of Tibet? And I said, can I get back to you on that? Because I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of responsibility. I don't know. What does that entail?
Sure.
And holy moly. So I said, I'll call you back in a week. Let me think about that. And is he sure he's talking to the right person? Because I'm thinking, whoa. So a week later goes by and I had some time to think about it. And I said, you know, like Richard Branson says, if you don't know how to do something, just say yes and then figure it out. And so I said,
I love that.
I'm going to do this because I love children. And I just, children in the arts. So what happened was we did 2 concert benefits. And at both these benefits, the first benefit, I had planned on singing. But at the last minute, I bowed out. And we had a huge amount of singers there. And I was loving it. But I was showing up to all the rehearsals because I wanted to sing at the event. And I chickened out, actually, at the last minute. Well, then I took NLP, and I think I was in the middle of my NLP course, my first one, and the second concert came up, and I sang with these 5 women on stage, 2 songs, together with them. And during the rehearsal, she said, Kelly, you want to get up on the mic? And I was like, no. I feel fine right here. So I stayed sitting down with the 5 women and not standing because I got really nervous. And so I'm noticing a little progression, like the universe is providing opportunities for me to sing in public so that to help heal me. And I know that NLP has done that for me. During my course, the breakthrough that my coach asked me to do is to sing in front of 25 people. And that week during class, he said, first sing for the class. And I was so nervous. He said he thought that I was going to be terrible because I was so nervous. I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I started singing in the class, and he opened up the doors of the rooms, and he said, wow. And several people in the room were crying. And I don't know because I was, are they crying because I was so nervous or what?
Because you were so good.
And then because it's my soul. And then about a week later, I went to Archangel Academy here in Los Angeles. Giovanni Morisco from Canada created this event where 7-figure earners would mentor angels. So the 7-figure earners are called archangels. And we met in a room for 2 days at the Hyatt in Century City on the Avenue of the Stars, and I was actually given a scholarship to attend for 2 days. It was a $5,000 scholarship, and I met all these extraordinary people there. And so that was my coach who said, you need to sing in front of at least 25 people. So there were 75 people in the room. And I said, okay. So I got up there and I said, okay, this is part of my coaching. I've got to sing in front of 25 people or more. And I think this counts.
I think so too.
So I sang in front of them and I got a standing ovation and I walked off and And then I was at an Oscar party a couple weeks ago and I was speaking to Dick Michaels, who actually is a songwriter, a well-known songwriter, and I gave him my phone number and he phoned me last week, actually 2 weeks ago, and said that he would meet with me to help guide me to create a signature sound. And I'm thinking, whoa, is the universe talking to me?
Yes.
So I did not phone him last week. Because I chickened out, but because of this broadcast, people, I can do it. I'm gonna call him back, and I'm gonna set it up, and I'm going to. And also, last week, my friend Michael Blum invited me to a music venue where he's playing, and he said, "Would you like to come out and sing?" So I feel like the universe is pulling me and calling me into that direction, and because it is something that. I mean, even when I think about it, just right now, I feel like the sun is shining out of my face because I'm just thinking about it just lights me up so much.
That was the exact language I was going to use because you sound very lit up, definitely. And I can tell you do it from your soul, from your essence, as you were saying, and that makes such a difference. It's not as you're going through the motions, the way we drive down the five. This is something that
I started this conversation in the beginning.
But yeah, it's deep within you. I can tell by the way you speak of it with such love and such passion. Mm. Yeah, and you put it out there to the universe. So here it comes.
Yeah, and I want to adopt some children. My husband and I have not been blessed with children of our own. Though I believe that these children of Tibet, there are children there that we will be parents to. So yeah. I'm putting that out there as well. And when I met with His Holiness in February, it was the second time I was meeting with him. It was early in the morning at 6 o'clock, and there was a family standing to the left of us greeting him. They were the first ones that he greeted on his way to the elevator to go to the airport, and it was a little boy and a little girl, and I looked at her and I said, I would love to adopt a little girl like you and a little boy like you. And she said, really? What color are her eyes going to be? And her mother said, oh honey, she can choose whoever she wants. So that is out there. I'm putting that out there, speaking that into existence. I would like to be a mom in the future. And possibly be the mother of a Tibetan orphan.
I love that. And I love how that goes hand in hand with your singing and renewing your own spirit and then assisting others to do the same.
Yeah, that's really my passion, is to fulfill my dreams as well as assist other people to fulfill theirs. It's always something that I've always aspired to do, is to inspire other people to live a life that they love.
Yeah.
I just want to live a life I love. I want other people, I want to play in a sandbox full of beautiful, authentic, creative, happy children, no matter what their age. I think we forget the child within all of us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a beautiful point. That's really, really true. And just how expansive love is. The more you give, the more you actually get.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you're deeply spiritual. So let me ask you, how do you define God, if you do define God, and how do you find God?
God, for me, is love, acceptance, remembrance, and to bring up that word remember, if you separate the word, it's remember. And in a scientific realm, if you say you remember something, you're actually putting two pieces back together.
I love that.
And so peace, for me, I thing causes separation.
Right.
Because when you are peace, you are a piece of the whole. And then the whole has two words too. A whole as in a whole being, or a hole like a hole in the ground. So,
right.
So the word for me these days is unity. Because I started saying global harmony, but then when I started separating that word, harm and money. So then I said to myself, whoa, harm, money. That's interesting. So
it is.
I came back and to look at it in unity. I was sitting with two guys from New Mexico. And we were Alex and Steve. And we were discussing this, and we all came up with global unity. And if we can, because what we focus on expands.
Absolutely.
So if we focused on global unity, oh, I don't, anything is possible.
I love that. And because we are all united, we are all one in the same and interconnected. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, if our listeners wanted to learn more about you, connect with you, how would they do so? Are you, do you have a website? Are you available on social media?
Well, anything/thepowgirl. So YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google Plus, anything, Facebook.
Got it covered.
It's all the Pow Girl.
Beautiful.
Including my website. It's www.thepowgirl.com. And POW stands for, like I said, predicted Oscar winner.
Peace over that. Over. Planet of Wonder.
Yes, Planet of Wonder.
I love that. Beautiful. Callie, thank you for being here today. Thank you for being so brave. I know that your story and your courage is going to impact a lot of other people and allow them to come forth and speak their own truth. So thank you. You have become an example of how to live an authentic life.
Well, thank you for asking me those questions.
You are welcome. Pleasure has been mine. Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. And this show is fabulous. I listen to all the podcasts, and I'm excited for you. I'm going to be listening as well. I'm one of your listeners.
So. Thank you. Thank you. That's so gracious.
Yeah, all the best.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us here today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitchers. Until next week, good night and Sat Nam.
Now it's time for you to move forward and discover the extraordinary in you. Moving Forward is produced by John Lim and Kristen Knepper. All rights reserved.